these are like the ivy, which is strangling the tree. You know, they're basically, the tree is now almost completely dead, and the tree is about to fall over because these institutions have been parasiting on our government. And this is what I mean about democracy. Democracy can only succeed as a principle if these kinds of institutions are exposed by the mainstream press and by the government itself. Should really legislate against these kinds of organisations being able to have the power that they do, the financial clout that they do, to lobby so strongly for foreign policy to take interests which are actually against the national interest of the government. I mean, I just find that absolutely incredible. Another side of all of this, which I'm involved in here in Bristol and in Britain generally, it goes back to what I was saying about our campaign, which is called The Land Is Ours, is about squatting. I mean, I was talking earlier on about, sharing out land. Now, squatting, I think, in the US is a criminal offence. One of the things that the new government here in Britain is trying to do, and there's something called the Squash Campaign, which is fighting against it here in Britain, is to try and make squatting a criminal offence here. Now, this is fascinating because we've got a situation where loads of buildings are being left empty as businesses collapse, people are having their homes repossessed, and so you've got potentially a massive boom industry in squatting, where people can take over those buildings, look after those buildings, and actually keep them up, put together, maintain them, and also have a roof over their heads. And this is one of the big problems for the financial elite around the world. So I think actually one of the most radical things is possible to do, and in a way this is echoed with these Occupy Wall Street protests, with people actually camping out in the street and possibly, potentially anyway, taking over buildings nearby these protests. We had something in France a few years ago in Paris called the Ministry of Housing Crisis, which was a massive squat in the city centre in Paris, which the squatters turned into what they characterised as an official government ministry of squatting. Because actually, everybody should have, as it says in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, signed after World War II, a right to shelter. And this is one of the most important basic fundamental rights that this financial crisis is ripping off from us. But it's been really, really actually quite horrendous in the United States. And there's a BBC program called Requiem for Detroit, which really graphically shows the way that so many houses have just been simply mothballed and are sitting there empty whilst homeless people are roaming the streets. It just seems so utterly unjust, so fundamentally unjust as to be laughable almost. And that's what they're trying to do here in Britain. So I think actually the whole squatting movement, the idea of taking over these empty buildings, living in them, restoring them, the DIY culture that goes with that, and looking after and showing that the squatters can actually be far better custodians of buildings than the people who on paper actually own them, which are often banks and corporations. I think this is actually one of the big things that we're going to be seeing in the Western world in the years to come, and one of the big movements. Of course, it did happen actually at the end of the Second World War. Many people came back from that war with nowhere to live. Many soldiers were demobbed, and they started squatting in the 1940s. So I think we're going to see that kind of thing as a big part of this movement. And I'm very surprised that in the United States that there hasn't been more activism. In fact, it has been happening, we just haven't really been seeing it, where groups of people who've been made homeless by the financial crisis have actually, rather than just sort of live in tents in the woods or else in official government shelters, have actually moved into buildings and taken them over. And I think this is going to be a massive thing in the future. I think we're going to see loads and loads of it, and it's a very positive thing, a fantastic
Britain, I believe, squatting. I believe squatting in Britain was actually part of kind of like local tradition, you know, like everybody was doing it. And I just came up with an idea here that, you know, how we got the food crisis and everything. What I reckon we really need is a conspiracy cafe, you know, where like all the food is named after conspiracies, you know, like a Twin Tower burger or a Bilderberger with bacon and barbecue sauce, or World Trade Center pancakes that are savory with hot sauce. You mean, the possibilities are endless.
It's a fantastic concept, and I like the idea of entrepreneurial people who are seeing the fact that buildings are empty, moving into those buildings and utilising those buildings and running rent-free businesses from those buildings, because often it's the rent that kills the business. Very, very often you'll find that even the staff costs are quite small compared to, you know, the rent costs being, you know, whereas an organisation, a business or a charity can be quite viable if it doesn't have to pay any rent. So squatting seems to me to be the obvious and most important answer to the financial crisis. Well, obviously the banks that own the mortgages or bits of paper that say that they own those houses, they're not going to be that happy. But I'm afraid that they are trumped by the fact that possession is 9/10 of the law. So if people can get into these buildings, take them over, restore them, look after them, and turn them into a place to either live or run a business from, I think that's going to be a big part of what we're going to see in the future in the West. And the reaction, the ordinary people's positive reaction to the financial situation the way it is to innovate, and that's the modern entrepreneur.
Yeah, well, hey, one thing I really wanted to talk about as well is the huge amounts of, basically empty suburbs, brand new subdivisions in LA, and this is, what's his name, George Heminger from Survive and Thrive TV. He's been going into these places, and they've still got the plastic wrapping on their benches and stuff like that, and everything's just growing up. It's like there's entire communities that are just dead, empty, nothing there. And when people go in there, they get the cops called on them. This is insane.
Yeah, well, it's you know, often the police don't actually really enjoy doing that kind of thing. Some police do. Obviously, there's a lot of the far-right types who are recruited into the police for the very purpose of these kinds of hideous acts and injustices. But, we're living in a country where the police is being cut back, but we're also living in a situation where large numbers of people are starting to band together who've been affected by this financial crisis. And, of course, that's going to be a boom industry in the future. So I see people relearning some of the lessons from the past, remembering the fact that the land's been stolen from them, not just by a rich feudal elite and financial elite, but also by a whole sort of zombie banking sector that doesn't really exist. I mean, this is one of the other things in the United States, is that when, on several occasions now, and there's a whole parts of the US where this is applies, is that the mortgage companies don't actually have the documents for the building. And so if the squatter or the original occupier challenges these decisions in the courts and says, right, okay, we want to see all the documentation that shows us that you own this building, we're not just moving out without it, there is no proof that the mortgage company owns the building, especially through all these kind of credit default swaps and goodness knows what, these weird financial instruments. What often happens is the mortgage itself gets lost in this whole process of the mortgage being swapped and remade into a derivative or whatever, that the mortgage paperwork gets lost. And so although the mortgage company may come to you and say, right, you've got to move out, when it actually comes to court, they can't prove that they own the place. And anyway, you know, we have a situation here in Bristol, for example. We've got a free shop on Stokes Croft, which is one of the main streets in the city. And that was evicted a couple of months ago by a vindictive landlord who decided he didn't want to deal with the squatting community and actually make a deal where they could stay for a while and look after the place and restore it, which they have done. And the building was evicted, was boarded up, the entire ground floor with the steel panelling. People were evicted about 7 a.m. in the morning. By midday, the entire building had been panelled and boarded up, so no one could go in. But by 1 o'clock, the squatters were back in on the first floor, and they're now sitting in a fortress. So, I mean, this is the kind of spirit, this is the kind of attitude, I think, which is going to really break the back of this financial crisis really affecting people too much as we start to realise that those empty buildings out there are our buildings. And if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. These are the new just rules of the post-Occupy Wall Street, post-financial crisis world.
Yep, and I think that's a pretty decent place to leave it. Thank you very much, Tony, for coming on. His websites, ladies and gentlemen, are bilderberg.org and thisweek.org.uk. Thank you very much for coming on with me. And
thanks so much for having me.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. And by the way, just for the New Zealand listeners who are listening in live, one of our local councillors has complained that the protesters who are occupying our Altair Square might be damaging the grass and distracting people from the rugby. How unfortunate.
They're getting desperate, Vinny.
How dastardly are those naughty protesters? Oh my goodness, I can't even deal with it. All right, well, we'll see you again tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen.